With the help of Hashem, we are learning today's Perek Rambam, the 19th chapter of Hilchos Shabbos. Rambam begins speaking about wearing weaponry on Shabbos. Rambam paskins that kol klei hamolchama ein yoitzin behem b'Shabbos. One may not go out wearing any weaponry on Shabbos. However, if one did wear such weaponry, the Rambam differentiates and he says the following, that if a person was wearing objects that they themselves are worn as a garment, for example, a shidyon, a coat of mail, yeah, of course it's worn to protect yourself in battle, but it's a coat, it's like a garment, or of a kaiva, or some sort of helmet. Again, a helmet, the helmet that you're wearing is a helmet that's worn in battle, but it's a helmet, it's like a hat. Or umagopayim sha'al haraglayim, certain types of iron boots, they are boots. So even though you may not wear them by rabbinic law, but you're not violating biblical carrying. However, Rambam continues, if a person goes out carrying articles that are not worn as garments at all, for example, in here the Rambam counts the five weapons that the Mishnah counts, which is the roimach, a spear, a sayif, a sword, the keshes, a bow, the ala, some sort of round metal stick. It's a stick that has at its edge a rounded metal spiking ball. Utiris, and a shield. Here, says Rambam, you're chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. Now, really, there's a machloikas in the Mishnah, as explained in the Gemara, on Shabbos, Daf Samach Gimel, between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer is a lot more lenient. Rabbi Eliezer holds that one is not liable, biblically, even if you wore any weapon outside on Shabbos, because they could be viewed also as ornaments, as jewelry. However, the Chachamim in the Mishnah disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, and they prove that there's no ornamental value at all to weapons, because since we have the famous pasuk that in the future it says that v'chitasu charvoisam le'itim, that they shall beat their swords into plowshares, right? V'chaninoisehem lamazmeirois, and their spears will be turned into pruning shears. In other words, that with the coming of Mashiach, the bachlal won't be weapons. If weapons have some sort of ornamental value, then why will they cease to exist? Is araya, no, that weapons are weapons, and therefore there's no benefit, there's no ornamental benefit or aspect to them, and therefore, as we mentioned, you're going to be chayev chatos. Now the Rebbe in a maimer, divrei hamaschel haleluka shiro lashem shir chadash, the maimer that Rebbe said on Shabbos parshas matis masi tov shin tezayin, the Rebbe explains the pnimius of weaponry. The Rebbe Bechlal asks a question, that why is it that we find that when we were redeemed from Mitzrayim, it says in the Pasuk, V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael, which also means that we walked out with weapons. And V'chamushim, from the word five, the five weapons that the Mishnah, that the Rambam mentions, all of those weapons we were wearing. Masha Enkin, when Mashiach is going to come, as we just quoted the Pasuk that the Mishnah brings, that the Chachamim bring, that all weapons will be turned into instruments that will help us grow produce from the ground. There won't be any clay Zion. Why is that? So the Rebbe in the Maimed explains the Ruchni is the meaning of these weapons. And just to focus on sharing one, the Rebbe speaks about the sword, the cheref. Chazal say, for example, that whoever reads Kriya Shema, it's tantamount to him or her holding a cheref shel shtei piyos, a double-edged sword. So we're speaking about a good sword, a positive, a kedusha dika sword. What's the meaning of a double-edged sword? So the Rebbe explains that our war is against klipa. Klipa exists and it continues to derive nourishment from Kedusha in one of the following two ways. One way, explains the Rebbe, is when there is a tremendous amount of tzimtzumim. In other words, when godly light is shining, is revealed in a powerful way, Klipa cannot latch on. It's only when it undergoes many tzimtzumim. And why would that happen? That is a result of a person's choice, God forbid, of investing oneself into things that are unholy. So when we are mitzamtzim ourselves, including our godly neshama, in that which we should not be involved in, so we are mitzamtzim, the godliness within us, that causes a cosmic amount of additional tzimtzumim. That's one way that klipa can latch on and get more nourishment. And also, the other oifen, says that Rebbe, is that if a yid, God forbid, is very arrogant, and arrogance means that klipa can become arrogant, and it can go up to the source of kedusha, it can go up to such a high level where good and bad is all the same, light and dark is all the same, and it can derive nourishment over there. And therefore, the solution for this unique type of yinikas hachatzonim that we have to cut out is the idea of Torah and Tefillah, as the Rebbe explains, the double-edged sword, which will both inspire us. We have to inspire ourselves by davening and learning that, number one, we should not be invested in things that we should not be invested in. That, number two, we should always remain humble. And this is the avoda that we do, dafka, during galus, that will taka cut out all of the klipa. And ultimately, when we succeed in our avoda prior to the coming of Mashiach, then there won't be a need even for any of the five ruchniyasdika weapons, which is why weaponry on all levels will be battle with the coming of Mashiach.